Welcome to Conversation Street, everybody. Welcome. This is episode 135, and I'm here with lovely Gemma.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Michael.
We're doing episodes that are broadcast in the UK between the 2nd and the 6th of February.
Yes, yeah, that was this week. February has come. It's still blimmin' freezing here in the UK.
It's colder now than it was last month.
It is. It's been
snowing.
Oh, yeah, we had some snow this week in Southampton.
That's my excuse.
All our Canadian listeners are like saying we don't know what? How lucky we are because it's snows all the time there. Minus 20 or whatever.
It snowed.
We had a little bit of snow. It was like an inch of snow on Monday morning.
It lasted all morning. It wasn't an inch. That's an inch.
It wasn't that much. It was about
a centimetre.
And I was like, am I going to go into school today? Last time it snowed here, it took me 4 hours to get back from school, and I was determined the next time it snowed, I would not be going into school that day. But I went in because they read the forecast, said it wouldn't last, and it didn't. It was gone by lunchtime. So that was our little snowy adventure. But it's still blimmin' freezing.
And my park run got cancelled on Saturday because of black ice.
Yeah, it's
treacherous
terrible here.
Conditions here in the UK. I don't know how we've managed to record an episode today, but we're going to do our best.
It's because we can't leave the house.
We're snowed in, but it's okay because we've got tea.
Yeah, it's proper snowing in Manchester. It has been this week at the moment. There's a little bit of frost on the ground in Coronation Street this week as well, doesn't there?
I can't believe how cold it is.
And scatter of Hayley's
ashes.
Nearly
minus degrees.
It's like, is it ever going to get warm again? Sorry, Canadians.
I don't know what's sun anyway. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's been our week basically. What's been happening in Corrie history? The birthday this week. It would have been Betty's 95th birthday this week. If she hadn't died.
So happy birthday, Betty. It always ruins people's birthdays when they die.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be nice if she'd made it to 100, wouldn't it?
I'm sure she thinks so,
storylines. I wonder how many times she would have threatened to have left in between then and now.
It's been 20 years since the first appearance of Ashley Peacock.
Yes. He first came in. This is one of the times when actually I shouldn't have put this week. Because I looked on the 2nd and the 6th of February and what happened. And Ashley's first appearance was on the 1st of February. But I thought it was such an important one.
Why did you miss it off last week?
Because last week wasn't the 1st of February.
I do 5 days.
Yeah.
But, you're just making a Rodri aim back.
I'm not. I'm making it so that when we get to 5 years' time and we roll round again, there'll be an extra day.
No, because it's only going to move by 1 day, isn't it?
Yeah, so we get one extra day. And then in 10 years' time, we'll have got 2 extra days.
God help us.
Ashley Peacock was only in it for like 2 episodes back in 1995 as a little spotty teenager with Fred. And then he came back like a year later, more full time. So happy anniversary, Ashley Peacock. You are now singing in Gala Bingo adverts. Have you seen that?
No.
There's some kind of Coronation Street bingo and you can win a VIP behind-the-scenes set. And Stephen Arnold's there singing with... what's the actress that plays Sunita? Shobhna Gulati. They're doing some cheesy karaoke.
Oh, it's no. Like,
they should have stayed on the street.
You should have stayed on the street, Maxine. 15 years since the first appearance of Debs Brownlow, Natalie Barnes's hairdressing and beautician sister.
Everyone remembers her.
A vital character.
Yeah, what would Coronation Street without her? And 5 years since Leanne opened a new wine bar, The Joinery, which Peter spoiled by getting drunk at the launch party.
Never invite an alcoholic to a launch party at a winery.
Do you think that's why they like reopened it this week? Because it's like, this is the time when you redo things here.
Didn't bother mentioning it, did they?
No. Right, so that was this week in Corrie history. Let's get cracking with this week's street talk. Okay, so let's start off with street talk today. Most of this week has been more of the paternity dispute, hasn't it? Mixed with Rodwell Not Well finally getting his heart operation. So hopefully that's drawn a line
under
that.
Hopefully he'll be fine.
Yes. I just don't like having this heart thing hanging over him, which it has been since the last 6 months or so. But yeah. I mean,
I'm sure he'll be fine now.
Didn't he say like, oh, I still could be all right for 5 years? So
yeah.
He's got that to start off with.
Depends how long his contract is.
Yes. The next storyline started off with Sinead and a coach crash lateral tinker outcomings from that, and then it's gone more, and then it just turned into Roy scattering Hayley's ashes by the end of it. So it's gone from crashes to ashes.
Well done.
which will help that one. I don't need congratulating. Just a laugh would be fine. Thanks.
I can't wait to hear the next one.
What? Psychological warfare?
Yes.
Yeah. That, yeah.
That's Maddie versus Norris.
And now they're friends again.
Who cares?
I don't mind them as friends. I think they'd be quite good allies. But they're going through this little silly thing to get to. It's a bit silly. Yeah, we're not allowed to have a storyline title for the next storyline, the Faye one, because still spoiler of what happens next week. So we'll just say the Faye storyline for now, and we won't mention it at all. Just like we didn't know that Hayley was going to die or anything.
And then we have Sad McDonald
at the end, which nothing happens with Nate this week. So the paternity dispute one. So David books in to see a solicitor on Monday's episode because he's fed up of Callum hanging around and he wants to know whether sort of how many.
He wants to protect his ability to keep Max.
Yeah.
He doesn't want Callum to take Max off him, which seems like it could be possible.
Yes. So meanwhile, Michael is getting ready. Well, he's trying not to think about this heart operation that happened today. So he goes in and he does some shifts for Fat Brenda at the cab office to try and take his mind off it.
And then we have the Bistro makeover storyline.
Yeah.
Which is the worst. They should have called it a make under because they took it from fairly boring, standard looking wine bar to some kind of trashy, slogany.
Well, they've made it different. It just.
Who likes it?
I don't like it. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I'll probably grow to get used to.
Oh, maybe like would be a strong word. You can say.
But yeah, it's
horrible.
It just doesn't seem to fit in with the.
It's horrible.
Street.
It doesn't go with the theme of the bar, never used to have. Number three? What is the theme?
Yeah, unfinished paint
number
scraping
four,
off the wall and.
If there is a theme, there's more than one theme going on there because you can't have, like, inspirational slogans with, like, inside a bistro where people are so inspired they haven't been bothered to even finish off the brickwork.
I can see what they're going for, and it is modern and everything.
No, it isn't.
Was it like a wine cellar look, or was it supposed to be like...
It looks like a criminal's hideout.
Well, I told you, yeah, it does. It also looks like when you go on the Coronation Street tour and they store you in the inside of the bistro bit, don't they? Just before you like led out onto the street and there's just like a load of bricks there and everything. And
It looks
just like that.
What they need is some inspirational pictures with words that mean nothing to anybody on there.
I don't know. But, it's
really a disgrace.
Maybe they'll change it. Sometimes when they do things like that, they like subtly change it over time, but I don't think people like it.
It's like there were three people involved and none of them talked to each other. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm sure we will have many scenes to come because everyone likes to have their special meals there. But anyway, David goes to see Nick because he's helping out there, and he also says that the solicitor says he's got a good case because he's got a stable family, which is not what I'd say to describe the Platt household at the moment. But
but we find out later on in this episode that Callum's got a trump up his sleeve, and I think it's going to blow David right out of the water.
So Katie comes in because David snapped at her on Friday about Callum, didn't he? And so he tries to apologise to her, so she's all right with it and says, OK, I'll pick up Max from school today then. So she goes to the cafe with Max and Callum walks in. So we said last week that she'd caught his eye and there's looked like there's going to be some kind of romance blossoming there. And
sadly, it has come to pass.
I think that... I've said before a lot that I'm fed up of the whole, where's Kylie? Are we going to get Kylie back? So I don't really like Callum for that. And I'm not particularly interested in whether he's going to be Max's dad either. But it's a bit more interesting. I'm more interested to see what goes on with him and Katie than what goes on between him and David and Max. Not that I like Katie or anything. But I think the fact that she's getting involved with somebody like him, and don't you think that's slightly interesting at all?
I guess so. I kind of want him to murder her.
Well, yeah, there's always that danger, isn't there? What's going to happen? Is he going to get hooked on drugs?
I hope that none of our listeners are drug dealers and feel offended that we've sort of painted all drug dealers in a in a bad light. I mean, my friend is a pharmacist, in a sense, a drug dealer too.
In a way, yeah.
And she's quite respected in her community, so, you know... Not every drug dealer is bad, but Callum seems like a wrong one to me.
Yes, but Katie can't sit, yeah, because she's
Katie is an idiot. So Katie and Max are in the cafe and Callum comes in, buys Max a milkshake, and Katie's like, oh, you're not allowed to. Oh, never mind, you're handsome.
It doesn't take her long, does it?
And then...
she's so irresponsible. So, yeah, then...
Well, when David comes in, she sort of goes, oh, well, I don't really see what the problem is. He's a nice man. As though it's got anything to do with her, what David thinks, you know, I mean, as though her opinion has got anything to do with who Max is allowed to see.
Considering that David explicitly told her, don't let my son anywhere near that guy, I thought it was pretty bad of her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So over at the bistro then, there's this new girl that's come in to over to Andy. She wasn't she someone that was helping out with the designing or something?
She is the florist. She's
some Geordie ex of him. Oh, was she? Yeah, so she wants to rekindle things. She's rather touchy-feely, kissy, snuggy with him. And Leanne is overhears her calling him Andy.
What?
So it could be the jig's up. But no, he manages to get out of that quite quickly after the break.
She confronts him
and
says... Why are you called Andy? And he says, oh, no, the two Gevins where I used to work, so they called me Andy because it was too confusing otherwise. And she goes, well, no, you're lying. And he says, oh, okay, I'll admit that I had a one-night stand with her. And then she just gets really annoyed and says, Steph deserves better than you.
What's happening with David?
David takes Max home and tells Katie, look, explain to me exactly what you're doing with Callum. She says, oh, there's nothing I can do. It's not, he just came in. What's your problem?
He's so nice and handsome.
He seems really nice. And David says, look, don't go anywhere near him because he is a drug dealer. And Katie sort of has this look on her face like, drug dealer, I get some of that sweet drug dealing money.
I can't believe that wasn't enough to put her off.
I know, she just thinks, ooh, cash.
It did for a second, but...
It didn't. She looked like she just thought, I hear you use a lot of money in drug dealing.
He tried to invite her out later, didn't she? And she was like, she told him to leave her alone at first.
No, she told him to leave her alone with a face that was saying, this way to my bedroom.
Yes.
Didn't she? She's gave him this sexy little smirk.
Yeah.
What a wench.
She's not been getting any for quite a while.
Oh,
Since Chesney.
Well, what a step up.
Or is it Ryan? I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyway,
this is when Leanne confronts...
I forgot this.
Well, she tells Steph about how Gavin had a fake name. And obviously, Steph knows exactly why he's got that fake name. Because she's the only one who knows that he's really Andy. So she rushes off to talk to him. And Andy says, look, you've got to pretend to Leanne that you're confronting me, because if you don't, she's never going to let it go. She needs me to be punished for this, so you've got to sort of like get really angry at me and shout at me. So she starts saying, oh, you're a horrible man, oh, you take advantage of me, and slaps him around the face. And Leanne's watching with this smug little face on her. And when Michael and Gail come in, she's like, oh, guess what just happened.
It was that the end of that?
No,
I cannot remember what happened on Monday's episode.
Why don't you just wait for us to get there?
Yeah, no, that was funny. And then Steph's like, whoops, have I done that? Gone too far then. It's a bit like when she blurted out that, yes, I am pregnant the other week. She's like, just going a little bit too far.
I like her impulsive streak.
Yes.
So Michael starts shouting at Andy for being horrible to Steph, and he gets really worked up, and it looks like he's going to have a heart attack. But Andy's like, no, calm down. Runs outside to see Steph and says, look, I'm sorry. She says, I'm sorry I slapped you. And she says, look, I'm not going to go back because you've got to grovel to me because I don't want to look like a pushover in front of everybody else. Meanwhile, Callum comes into David's house and says, my car's been keyed, and accuses David of doing it. And he says, I didn't do it. And then Callum says, I know, you told Katie I'm a drug dealer. David basically says, I don't want to see you anymore. Don't come around her anymore. Max comes down and says, oh, the wheel came off my car. And Callum fixes it for him because he's a real man, unlike David.
Yes. So back at the bistro, then Andy's publicly grovelling to Steph. And Leanne says, I only want people working for me that I can trust.
I don't know why she's gotten herself so involved in this.
Because she's Leanne.
She's a nagging cow.
Well, she's just being a good boss, isn't she, I suppose?
No, if I was in charge of people, I'd be like, I don't care. I don't want to know anything about it. If you're going out with each other, I don't want to even suspect it. That's how professional you should be at work.
Well, she has been having a moan at them for canoodling behind the counter, hasn't she?
But that would be my point. I don't want to know. I shouldn't be able to tell from the way you act around each other at work. Mm. Unless you're married.
Yeah, that's fine then. So Max is asking Callum if he can take him out on his bike again, and Max, so David sends him back up to bed and tells Callum to get lost, basically. Callum's still there when David comes down later, though, and they just talk about the fact that, well, Callum is not letting it drop.
Well, Callum's just going, I'm the real dad. Max doesn't even call you dad anyway. And Dave's like, no, well, it doesn't matter. I am his dad. And Callum's like, well, you're not according to the birth certificate. I'm going to go to court to get custody or whatever. And David says, you're not going to get custody because you're a drug dealer. And Callum pulls this out of the bag, Michael.
Mum's a teacher.
His mum is a teacher, which means...
is automatic immunity.
Yeah. You know how many times I've nearly been arrested for, like, murdering people, robbing shops?
So, the husband's a teacher?
No, my mum's a teacher.
Oh, yeah, your mum's a teacher.
I'm like, practically two generations of teachers here. You can't touch me, pigs. Like that.
Yeah.
And all they can do is cry and walk away.
I don't understand.
It's true.
Because, I mean, Callum's obviously been in trouble with the police a lot before, so why does he what makes him think that now that his mum's a teacher, suddenly he's going to be able to get away with all this?
Later, on Friday, the police come round, and they don't go, oh, don't tell Callum off, don't forget, his mum's a teacher!
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't, no.
Well, we'll probably meet the mum at some point, I would imagine, now they've mentioned her.
I don't know whether they will. David, it just seems like some kind of thing to make some kind of... fake cliffhanger on Monday night's episode.
No, it doesn't make any sense unless she's actually going to be a character, because nobody's just going to go, oh well, say no more. She
might
be
a drug dealer, but
if you're the son of a teacher, then you can do no wrong.
Mm.
On Wednesday, Katie meets up with Callum. He says, oh, my drug dealing days are in the past. Dave is just insecure. I'm Max's dad. Come on a date with me. And then the other storyline. Is Michael telling everybody in the bistro that he's made a will and he wants Gail to read it. So Gail takes it very nicely and then rips it into pieces right in front of his face.
Gail
goes, it's all mine!
Gail is being very supportive of him.
Not really, I'd be annoyed if I wrote a will and then somebody ripped it up in my face.
I spent ages on that.
I know, he went to a solicitor and everything. She says, I've waited too long to find happiness and I'm not letting go of it now.
Oh, it's so sweet. So yes. How do you think things are going to be different with the Callum storyline now Katie knows it? Do you think she's going to blab it out to somebody?
Cause what?
That Max is Callum's son. Because he's been the one that's kind of threatening, oh, I'm going to tell Max. But I've got a feeling that Katie's going to be the
Katie
one that reveals it.
Katie might let the cat out of the bag, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
to who?
She
I
gets
don't
murdered.
Know, but I mean, it could be to anyone, really. To Steph
Max.
Or... Yeah, it could be.
Well, she could get all weird about it and start saying that Callum's so awesome and that Max should be with Callum and David's rubbish.
Yeah, so she might...
She knows a lot more about how rubbish David is than she knows about how horrible Callum is. So she might take Callum's side and tell Max and try to win him over.
Yeah, could be.
I hope she gets murdered.
So today then we had Michael's operation.
Friday's
episode, yes. He had his operation. Everyone's kind of wishing him well. Fake Gavin's there. Steph. Everybody.
Everyone hopes he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Now, Steph sees Katie and says to her that Callum's a drug dealer and she doesn't know why she's bothering with him. And Katie's like, oh, don't tell me what to do. He's changed. And Steph's like, can't believe it. She goes into the bistro to meet up with Callum, and David's there.
Yeah, she says, oh, I'm meeting up with him. And David's can't believe that she's getting involved with him, basically. But
well,
he says you're going to love everything you're going to get.
Stupid.
She does. She is pretty stupid for doing that. What else happened?
David takes Max and Lily round to Sally's because he's got to go to the hospital to get Gail.
Yeah. Then Sally opened the door and Max is in the middle of calling her a snobby cow or something.
Don't you boring.
Yeah. And David says, don't talk about your teacher like that.
And David says, here you go. Keep the kids inside because Lily's got a cold.
So
outside, Callum is watching.
Yes.
And I thought he was going to go around to Sally's to get the kids, but he doesn't.
No.
He gets a phone call from Macca and says, what's that? Someone grassed me up? Don't worry, I'll handle it. And so David goes back into his house to get his phone, and in walks Callum right behind him and says, you're not going to go in anywhere until I say so.
Do we know what Callum's supposed to have done?
No.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
It doesn't matter.
Some nefarious deed. So... David tries to manhandle Callum out, bless him.
Aww.
But he can't quite manage it.
He's not quite Gale at the top of the stairs, is he?
No, he's a bit bigger than him as Callum. So David's got no choice to sit and listen with Callum saying, well, I'm going to have the police around here soon, and you're going to tell them that you were with me this morning.
You're my alibi.
Yeah.
And if you don't do what I say, I'm going to tell Max that I'm his dad.
That's just his answer to everything, isn't it?
I know.
Oh, I'm going to tell Max.
God.
I mean, Max is... He's obviously going to find out. Is he going to find out, or are they going to get rid of Callum before then? I wish they'd just get on with it and say it, because his threat has been...
Boring, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. So anyway, the police do come round to number 8. And is David going to confirm the alibi? Yes, he does. Because
cliffhanger!
Yeah, that was a bit of a... That was another cliffhanger, but yeah. So he confirmed it, and so Callum is safe to roam the streets another day. Then Gail turns up and gets rid of Callum.
Well, meanwhile, Katie's getting impatient because Callum hasn't turned up at the bistro. Steph's like, you're an idiot. But then he turns up and says, I'm going to spoil you rotten.
So Kay's like, okay.
Oh, that's brilliant. Meanwhile, Gail gets a phone call from the hospital to say that Michael's operation was a success. Mm-hmm. And Steph tells Andy now he has to confess the truth. That he is, in fact... Not fake Gavin.
Yes. He is now, Michael is not at risk of collapsing and dying.
Well, I would have thought that he's going to be delicate for quite a few weeks. He's going to be more delicate after the operation than he ever was before it, surely.
Yeah, I don't know.
A few weeks.
Yeah, they said a couple of weeks, didn't they? String it out
for
a little bit longer.
Oh, great. Let's have more lurking around and muttering in corners.
I'm really surprised how long it's taken for real Gavin to turn up. I still have got no idea what's going to happen with this, whether there is actually somebody been cast as him, or whether he's going to be turned up dead or what.
I don't know. Do you think he's just going to turn up dead and then Andy's going to be like, oh well, identity fraud, why not?
I'd like to know more of what Andy does when he's not sort of interfering in Michael's life, because it started off being this little scam just for a joke,
know,
and now it's
hobby,
turned into his entire life.
What hobbies is he neglecting, do you think?
I don't know.
Maybe he grows coral and they're all dead in a in a little pool in his garage.
And also, does he not have any other friends?
No, he only has ex-girlfriends who run up and kiss him.
Yeah.
As you do.
So...
Am I the only person who, if I see someone that I used to like and don't like anymore, or fallen out with, or not that I have ex-boyfriends, but would just completely ignore them and pretend they didn't exist and walk the opposite direction?
That's because you're not crazy ex-girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Now, what?
No, there's nothing else to say. That nothing's really happened, has it?
It's, okay, well, it's
no further forward apart from Marcus Adler's operation. So the crashes to ashes storyline.
On Monday, who is Agnes?
Agnes. Kate, Sinead's grandma, great-grandma.
Oh, old Tinker, that's her name. Grammy Tinker, bossing the family around at home. Joseph's got a cold, and Chesney manages to get Roy to look after him. This is a big mistake. They go to see Sinead in the hospital, but there's no more developments, except that Chesney tells her that Katie's got Joseph, not Roy. So later on, he goes to see her by herself, he confesses that actually Joseph is really with Roy, not with Katie, and she gets really mad and says, you went behind my back. I don't know why she cares.
What, because Roy...
But it's not her child. She can't tell Chesney what to do with Joseph.
No, I think she realises later in the week she's been...
I know she does, but I just found that very presumptuous.
So was this all leading up to
this
Ashes thing, since Sinead was there, so they can have a little falling out and now they're friends again?
Yes.
Because on Wednesday, she's had a little physio session and she's made her realise how long her road to recovery is, and she empathises with anybody who has to go through long periods of
illness, medical
treatment, like Hayley.
And she realises now what Roy has to go through, because she's seen the toll her sickness has taken on Chesney in just a short amount of time, and she can't imagine Roy having to watch Hayley sort of deteriorate before his eyes, knowing that she would never get better. So... Meanwhile, we also find out that Woody's MOT needs renewing.
I was worrying that we would never see the Woody again, because didn't it break down, like, when Hayley was also breaking down, and it was kind of supposed to be symbolic, and I thought that was the last we saw of it. It's still going okay, and it got through its MOT, didn't it, on Monday?
Yeah.
Well, Roy didn't originally want it done because they start talking about him start doing the driving lessons again, but he doesn't want to do it. He says the car's a relic, it's a prop from a story that's over. And yes. I think that was breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
but Carla and Tyra are trying to make him not make any snap decisions over it. So anyway, Roy goes to see Sinead there with Chesney, and she wants to clear the air, and she apologises, says, and she's like, oh, it's because of Hayley, wasn't it? And he's like, no, it's not because of Hayley. I would never use that as an excuse for my kind of behaviour. I failed Hayley. Because we know he's very guilty about that.
Well, then Sinead says, look, Hayley would want you to go out and live your life because wherever you go, she goes. So meanwhile, Tyrone and Carla decide to put Woody through the MOT anyway. And Roy doesn't care about that. All he's fixed on at the moment is that he's decided he wants to scatter Hayley's ashes and get on with his life. So on Friday, Tyrone and Chesney go with him. They think they're going to go to Blackpool, but he changed his mind and he wants to go to the park, which is, what's the name of the park?
The Red Wreck. Heaton Park.
Heaton Park.
That's where we went.
I don't think they said it was the Red Wreck because they were like, oh, where are
we? No, that is supposed to be the Red Wreck.
Is it?
Yeah.
So he's obviously done all of his paperwork and he knows it's okay. He's done his preparation, but when he gets to it, he starts to panic and freaks out. He thinks that he doesn't know what to say, even though he's rehearsed it over and over and prepared himself. Now he's in the moment. He doesn't feel ready. And Tyrone calms him down and says, just say say your poem. So he chucks it in, and they have a strange point of view under the water of the ashes being scattered on top, and it didn't look good. And so they only used one of those shots.
It was a bit weird. All the rest of it was nice because it was like done at a sunset time, wasn't it? So it was all nicely lit and orange.
I can imagine they'd finished the final edit of this. And they left the ash shot in, and then as they were going home, the director went, just take that out because it looks crap, doesn't it? And the guy in charge was like, yeah, okay. Oh, I'll make a cup of tea first. Oh, it's time to go home. Sat down in front of the telly tonight and went, oh, crap.
That's the underwater shot.
Oh, no, I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Everything else about that scene was nice. I mean, that was kind of the standout bit in the episode for me, I think. I mean, it was always going to be because it was the Roy bit and it was written very
nicely.
It's
really over now.
It is. I think this has got to be. And
I don't believe it because we know now that Roy's decided to resume his driving lessons.
Well, I'm glad Roy's not going to be quite so miserable. I mean, I know Roy being miserable is like his...
bread and butter.
That's his character. That's his personality.
Roy's rolls.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. But he's going to be on the way up now, I think. Is he going to make up with Anna?
Moving on up, you can use that pun if you like.
Okay, maybe I will.
I know you won't. You hate my puns.
You sometimes come up with good ones. Did you enjoy that little storyline?
No.
You glad that the Hayley thing is finally over?
Yes.
Oh.
I kind of liked the kind of neat way it kind of merged from Sinead sort of into Roy.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to go in that direction.
But I did kind of think it was a bit of a like, well, I've been in hospital for 2 weeks, so now I know exactly what it's like to die of cancer. Don't you think?
Well, I'm surprised that Roy kind of changed his mind after listening to Sinead, because everyone's been trying to make him see, look, Hayley's always going to be with you. She'll still be there in your heart.
She was speaking as Hayley.
Was she?
Well, because she was the one in the hospital bed.
But Roy still doesn't believe in any kind of, oh, she's still there with me.
No, but it's not about that, is it? It's about... I don't think she was speaking about an actual spiritual kind of remnant of Hayley's soul. I think she was saying, like, her memories and everything.
Mm.
The influence that she had. Well, this is how I think Roy interpreted it. The influence she's had on your life has turned you into the person you are now. So wherever you go, she goes with you because your personalities have sort of changed each other.
Even when he was talking to her ashes in today's episode, he wasn't like properly talking to her. I think he still knows that that's not Hayley, but he had a few words that he was still like doing
it for
himself,
I suppose. How he managed to stop himself from going, what's that, Hayley? Hayley wants an ice cream.
Right, look,
sorry,
freezing.
Hayley, there's no ice cream truck in Manchester in February, I'm afraid.
No. Yeah, so that is the end of Hayley.
What's that? You still want ice cream? Bugger off.
I'm glad that it was all over, and I'm glad we didn't have the a similar scene to the last ash scattering we had on Coronation Street when Lloyd got a load in his face.
A load in his face.
Load of ashes.
Oh, ashes. Yeah, but it wasn't a real. It wasn't a person.
No, it wasn't even a tortoise.
It was a tortoise.
It wasn't a tortoise. It was.
What was it?
It was fake. Anyway.
Oh, what funny storylines. Let's move on to another one.
What are we doing now? Oh, the psychological warfare. Gaslighting, you said this is called.
This is when you make someone think they're crazy.
Yes. It was a bit.
It's quite an interesting hobby of mine.
I don't really understand quite where they're going with it yet, but like I said earlier, I quite like the idea of Maddie and Norris as allies, because they're both kind of can be sneaky and they could get up to kind of.
I think this made Maddie look like a right horrible cow, and I didn't like her personality in this section at all.
No, I'm glad that they made up and that Maddie is now better in reason again, because I do like her.
Really, she should know better because she's an adult now. Because it's her 18th birthday. So, Monday. She's playing kickabout outside the garage with Simon.
Isn't he looking tall? He is getting huge.
Sophie teases her about having a surprise for her birthday on Wednesday, and then she reveals that it's a mini break. Oh, lovely. But Maddie won't shut up about going, oh, I don't want to go somewhere posh. Oh,
she was so ungrateful.
She was just minging and moaning.
And what she's been doing to Norris has cast her in a really bad light this week.
Maybe she doesn't like birthdays.
Maybe it brings back some kind of memory, I don't know. But anyway.
So, Norris has to deal with Simon and Maddie kicking a football around, so he decides to puncture it. Well, we just find Maddie and Simon with the ball punctured, and you don't know what's happened, but it's obviously Norris did it.
Yeah, and he can do whatever he wants now, because Rita's gone to see Mavis.
Yes.
So he rules the roost.
Yes. Maddie confronts him about it, and he says, no, it wasn't me. You can't prove it anyway. And she says, you're not heard the end of this. So they go to get ready. Sophie and Maddie go to get ready to leave, but she won't let it go. Maddie goes back to the cabin, and while Norris is answering the phone, she looks very suspicious.
Yeah, and she's tapping away at his computer, I think. Because that also in that episode we didn't mention, that's when Sharif comes and he's looking for his, what is it, Poultry Weekly or Chicken Monthly or whatever magazine?
Chicken Quarterly, darling.
Chicken Quarterly magazine.
Mm, Chicken Quarters.
Which Norris gets a deliver of 111 copies of on Wednesday. Which, I think somebody also said this on the comments on the Coronation Street blog, is very similar to the whole Olives thing from a few years ago.
A little bit.
That's how you get back at your
two
own back
years
on somebody.
Ago. Oh,
yeah, it was a couple. It's 2 years since Lewis left.
No. Right, so he can't believe it. He tells everyone it must be a mistake. Maddie's there and laughs her head off because she thinks it's great. And then in the cafe later, Maddie starts joking that Norris is getting forgetful because he forgets that Emily wants a cream horn.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Emily is feeling horny.
Yes. On Friday, Zidane proves that he is the scum of the earth that we always knew he was by finding Maddie stealing the little poster off of Norris's newspaper board.
Poster boy.
She's stealing it and says, he says, what are you doing? And she says, I'm trying to make an old man think he's senile. Do you want to help me? And he says, yes.
Yes, I'm horrible.
I'm a horrible git too. So this was an armed robbery at the Fresh Goes story.
That sounds like a good storyline.
Which sounds like better than anything
any other
else
storyline that's been
week.
In this week.
I can't believe that they went with that because it just shows up the rest of the plot.
Yeah.
So anyway,
they should have just gone something with safe with like Roy scatters Haley's ashes.
Strange dust seen over Red Wreck.
I think they should have had some kind of like heart surgeon sacked for incompetency at Weatherfield General.
So the storyline's about the armed robbery. Zidane goes in and goes, what's this I hear about an armed robbery on the front of the paper? I literally have only just seen that happen. And Norris goes, you're an idiot, because there's a poster that says about it outside. You young people don't read anything. And he says, there's not a poster outside. And Norris says, what do you mean? Someone stole it? I don't think so. Let me show you. They go outside, and lo and behold, the poster's missing. This was Maddie's perfect opportunity to make Zidane look like a crazy and by putting it back.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't.
She had screwed it up, man.
No, she screwed up and stuck to her jumper, didn't she?
Yes.
So he goes, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I knew I put that poster out. I must be going nuts. So later on, Mary comes in to the cabin and Norris looks very down and upset. And he says, I've not been sleeping well. I'm really worried about how much I'm forgetting things. So then Mary says, oh, go and have a sleep. I'll look after the cabin.
I liked it when somebody, who was it, they caught her doing
Maddie.
A stock take later on.
Yep.
She Maddie comes in and hears about this and looks very guilty. So then she goes and confesses all to Norris, who I thought we were almost going to get a scene in Emily's front room there for the first time in years, but no, we just closed the door on her. So he closes the door, but then later on they make up on the bench. They are friends. They realise that they're both kind of
horrible
people. So they'd be friends together, be horrible together. Well, Maddie isn't horrible. She's just been pretty nasty this week. I don't really see what problem they have with Norris, especially last week, because it was all starting at the bar last week when she did the speaking clock thing to him. I know that she supposedly punctured Simon's ball this week with his army knife.
The thing is, people are horrible, and some people are horrible, and you can either make yourself mad about it or just accept the fact that they are just horrible people and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm.
Maddie will learn this in time. She's only 18.
Well, I think it's sometimes part of a, like, troubled background coming through, and that's, like, the old Maddie kind of ways, going back to her old street urchin ways.
I guess so.
But I just think... I mean, Norris is...
I don't see what a street urchin's got to do with moral policing.
Norris is always horrible to people. I know that lots of people don't like Norris as a character, and sometimes he's funny and sometimes he's just nasty so far, but he didn't deserve what happened to him this week, to be honest.
That's the one thing I kind of like about Norris, is that they're not afraid to make him actually genuinely unpleasant and horrible, even though he in other ways is a quite sympathetic character and you can kind of laugh with him. Mm. But you can also get really upset and mad at him too. He's quite a complicated character for sort of a throwaway.
And all the stuff with Ramsay as well. One minute I hate Norris, and then the other minute when he's like, you know, like when he got the telescope through, or when he has the scenes with Craig or whatever, he's actually like, oh, it's quite right. Nice. It's Norris.
He's been in it quite a lot recently, actually.
Who?
For someone who hasn't really had any real proper storylines, he's had lots of little side, like the parcel and then astronomy
and his apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Norris. Let's move on to Faye.
Yes.
Lovely Faye. Faye's been skiving off work.
Off school.
I wish I could skive off work. On Monday, she signs a note from Anna, which looks like she's excusing herself from doing PE.
But I think it must have been excusing herself from school. I didn't read the note. I thought it was PE at the time.
She's feeling fat on the gym steps, and she starts asking Eva, how old do you have to be to join a gym class? And Eva tries to help her out by saying, oh, you can... It's a youth running group or something like that. But Faye's like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't forget I said anything. And then Anna says, oh, let's go have some fish and chips. And she's like, oh, I can't have them because they're fattening. And then decides to just eat the fish and a pickled onion. So she goes to the chippy to pick it up, and she sees Craig there and says, I was going to go to school, but I chickened out because I hate it so much. People are calling me fat and writing horrible things on the board just about it. And Craig is an expert on people calling him fat and says, tell the teacher, but she says no.
No. I do like the Craig and Faye relationship stuff. Nice friends. On Wednesday, Craig sees her at the bus stop, but she still says she's not going to school because it's PE that day. She'll be made fun of. So Craig ends up stowing away in her flat with her, doesn't he? And He's again trying to be really nice. He's getting upset about being laughed at, and he's like saying you're not fat. And to be honest, I don't think she does look that fat particularly.
No.
She just looks like a normal kind of teenager, but anyway, I know that
she's wearing bulky clothes and
yeah, a little bit.
And you don't really know how fat she is under those clothes. And also when you wear gym clothes, girls usually have to wear stuff that's fitted around the waist.
Uh-huh.
So, like, because when I was at school, we had to wear proper gym skirts.
Did you?
Yeah, like pleated navy gym skirts.
Ah, how official.
And they had this funny little, there's a weird way that it fastened up, because it had this kind of like plastic, it wasn't a zip, but it was kind of like a slide. So you slid the fastening across, and then you clipped the lid, the top bit back over to lock it in place.
Mm.
And one time we had to wear a white polo neck, navy skirt and like gym shorts underneath the skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we had to do jumping jacks, but it was like crouch on the ground and jump up into jumping jack and then crouch back down. And my skirt was too small for me, and I jumped up and it went poop. just opened up. And that's why you have to wear gym shorts.
I see.
But luckily it was an all-girls school.
Yeah, so if you're a bit fat or worried that you're going to be fat, then that's not the kind of thing you want to wear.
No, you don't want to be wearing
that. You just wear shorts on top.
Wear shorts underneath, darling. Not underneath. On the top.
Sorry, I don't understand.
So she decides that she's going to starve herself until she's thin enough to go back to school.
Yes.
She hasn't really been working out enough to be able to get back by the end of the week, because on Friday she's still skiving off.
Yeah, and not even hiding in the house. She takes the very risky move of going to the precinct where Audrey sees her.
Uh-oh, Audrey sees her.
But
Audrey's a grass as well, because she tells Tim that she saw her.
Yeah, and then Anna as well later. Anna asks Audrey, and she's like, yeah, I saw her. Yeah. But Faye says she's on a field trip. And I don't believe that Anna would believe that story for a minute, but she seems to be accepting of it for a while.
She says she had to go in and look at homeless people.
Wouldn't Anna have had to have signed a slip to say that she has to let her go on a field trip to the precinct?
Mm. Well, Anna's too busy being mad at Roy at the moment to remember signing anything.
Yes.
So, what's wrong with Faye?
I couldn't possibly guess what's wrong with Roy, but I can't wait to find out next week. Or have I maybe known about this storyline since they revealed it, like, last August?
All I can say is it's going to be a very challenging role.
Well, we'll see how they deal with it, won't we?
I mean, I always feel bad for saying, but she really is not the best actress.
I honestly don't mind her. I think she's fine. I think she's fine.
I know you do.
She's not had to do anything super serious or...
The test will come when this it's revealed
whatever it is that she's like, whatever's wrong with her at the moment.
The addiction to Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it?
It's the local Freshco's where they had an armed robbery, is where they have been taking deliveries of new Lotus Biscuit caramelised Krispy Kreme donuts. And that's why there was a robbery, because they just can't get enough of that sweet, sweet, sugary...
I wonder whether she's on steroids.
Maybe, she could be. What, for a bulk? She's doing a dirty bulk, I think that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
Then she's going to cut and get really ripped abs.
I can't think of any other reason why a young girl would get really fat.
Okay, darling.
Should we move on, just in case people might guess what the actual thing is that happens if you don't know the spoilers?
Well, you obviously want them to guess, because you've been going on about it.
No, people know, but we are a spoiler-free podcast, so we'll move on to the sad McDonald's storyline, where nothing much happened this week. Steve is slobbing around watching
TV.
Steve
is sad, still.
Yeah, still sad, it's still depressed. And
he has clinical depression.
And he tells the therapist on Monday that he's fed up with Michelle going on at him. Well, no, he thinks that she's smothering him now, because she's going from one extreme to the next. It used to be that she
didn't care
and was just moaning at him, and now she's moaning at anyone that like looks at Steve funny.
Yep.
She's like she's not shining armor.
And also we find out that he's not just having therapy; he's also having medication as well.
Yes. Oh, that was on Wednesday, wasn't that a thing?
Wednesday.
Whenever
he went. And now, on Friday, Liz gets distracted because she's worried about Steve. And Tony says, oh, you need to think outside the box to try to get through to him. Which is just ridiculous, because they keep treating it like it's some kind of puzzle to unlock or something. Anyway, Steve is still obsessed with watching old game shows and stuff. And he comes downstairs complaining because he can't find the remote. And his program's about to start. And Liz says, oh, why don't you go for a walk? Why don't you help me in the bar? He goes off to carry on looking for it. And then Liz reveals to Michelle that she's actually stolen the remote control. And it's her plan to get him out of the blues. Michelle isn't that impressed, because she realises that you can't just steal someone's property to get them out of depression. Just snap out of it, Steve. And so it sort of shows how upset Steve is, because he starts demolishing the front room to find this. Liz comes in, tells him off, and says, come and help me in the bar. I've got a migraine. So Steve reluctantly agrees. And then when he's standing there looking very miserable, Eileen comes in and sort of tries to tell him a story about Fat Brenda's niece. And he says he's not in the mood, and then he rushes off.
Not in the mood for gossiping. And then he overhears Michelle and Liz talking about...
Arguing
about Hamish. Angus, whatever.
No, it was Hamish. They're saying, you weren't worried about him before you ran off. Don't tell me what to do. I'm worried about him too. I just want to be appreciated.
Yeah, but Michelle says that at least Hamish made me feel wanted or whatever, which is what Steve overhears.
They're they're arguing, Steve grabs his coat and leaves, and Andrea sees him skulking around in the corridor.
Yeah.
And then after the break, Michelle discovers that Steve's gone missing and finds out from Eileen that he's at the cab office.
Yeah, but he seemed to be getting happy with getting back in the saddle, as he put it, which I thought, great, it's given him something else to do, because I'm getting a bit fed up of him moping around. But then he's miserable again at the end of the episode, saying the same thing, or everyone would be better off without me. And Michelle still can't stand with him no matter what.
I just think this is going to turn Michelle into some kind of ridiculous martyr woman. Do you know what I mean? She's already set herself up as this long-suffering girlfriend of a man with depression, where, to be honest, until 2 weeks ago, she had no idea. So it's not like she's been putting herself out all this time.
No, she's trying to doubly make up for it, though, now, isn't she?
She's just really annoying me.
What do you think is going to happen? Is he going to leave her again for... And before he left her because she was sort of being too horrible about him and he couldn't cope with it. And now she's being too nice.
I don't know. It's very tough.
It is a long road to recovery. So, I mean, they're making it realistic, I suppose. But it just doesn't seem like... He should just naturally kind of over time get better. But I don't think we need to see any of this behind the scenes stuff. It was a bit filler this week, just like the Maddie and Nora stuff was a little bit filler as well.
I don't know, I just wonder how they... I don't really know. The thing is, because Corrie is one of these programmes that likes to sort of think of itself as bringing issues to the public light and sort of helping people who are going through that to cope by sort of taking away the taboo and everything.
Hmm.
But so far, I don't think they've done a good job. But then I'm not in the position where I can judge it from experience. It just seems to me like they're making out he's just frowning, and he doesn't want to talk to people. And then Michelle's just kind of like, I don't know, I just find it...
I don't know. I don't know what it's like.
It's a bit of a non-starter, really, at the moment.
I think Simon Gregson's doing a good job with what he's being given to do.
I think, on the one hand, it's really, really good that they kind of they act like they're educating people about it and stuff. But at the same time, they can't forget that they're a soap and they've got to be a bit outrageous and a bit overdramatic and everything.
Well, all the stuff with the car was outrageous and overdramatic, wasn't it? And
yeah, but is that really a symptom of depression? I don't know.
But at least that was kind of a comedy bit of it at the beginning when he was doing his car and everything, and now it's just a bit depressing again.
Because are they going to sort of go like really far with it and sort of show him wanting to commit suicide or something?
I hope not. I don't want it
to
go that
way. And if they do, is that bad? Because then it kind of makes it look like if you're depressed, you're also suicidal. Because the thing is about some of this medication that you get prescribed with if you have depression, is some of the side effects are suicidal tendencies.
Are they?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, maybe they'll go down that route.
I don't know.
I just think
it'd be a bit weird if they did.
Andrea seems like she's going to be the one that's understanding. I wonder whether there's going to be something... Not a romance that develops between Steve and Andrea, but maybe Michelle will get jealous of Andrea and once more they'll be at each other's throats again, the women.
Is Andrea going to be the sort of the middle road, the way you should treat someone? Because you've got Liz, who's doing the head in the sand, kind of like, no, you just need to go for a walk, you'll be fine. You got Michelle, who's treading on eggshells, like, don't say anything or do anything.
And if anyone does, then...
Yeah. And then you've got Eileen, who's all like, let me tell you the gossip, I'm going to chivvy you along and brush over the cracks.
And then there's Lloyd, who's just lost
like,
in Spain somewhere.
And Andrea just spying on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes, but...
It's not great at the moment.
I just really don't think that Steve's doing as working for me.
It was always built up to be the big, like, all Christmas storyline, Steve's going to have depression, how's it going to cope? But it doesn't seem like it is a big storyline, is it?
No, I just feel like it's kind of like, it's teetering on a cusp of something, and I don't know whether it's going to up the ante or if it's just going to fade away.
Yeah, I mean, the minibus crash was the big climax, wasn't it, of the storyline, and it's still carrying on.
Do you think they sat around and went, right, we need a big climax scene for our depression storyline, but suicide is too obvious, or attempted suicide is too obvious, what should we do? Oh, let's have him be so sad that he crashes a car and then he can't be bothered to help anybody.
Well, I wouldn't mind if that's what did happen. It's just like, if it's a climax, then that should come towards the end and it needs to fade away a little bit.
It still seems like it's going on with the same momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like not much has changed since the crash, apart from now people know about it, I suppose. But
yeah,
even things like the therapist. I think that he's not going to be in it anymore, I read.
Well, maybe it's just going to teeter into nothing then.
Well, maybe it should.
It's kind of silly, though, because he did all this. He spent all that money and got that car, and then that's like, oh, well, he's got the cash to cover it, so don't worry about that.
I don't know. Do we have a character of the week this week? There's nobody for me that completely springs to mind, but, I mean, Steph's had a few good scenes. Like, when she was, all that stuff, when she was slapping Andy and the bench scene and everything, but, I mean...
Yeah, I agree with that.
She's not had a huge amount to do, but nobody's really...
I think that slapping scene, I think that made me laugh, so...
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
But yeah, nobody's really come out amazingly this week, have they? It's been an okay week, but I think better than last week. But, it's kind of a standard, really.
Yeah.
It's been
standard week on Coronation Street.
Yes.
Let's move on to the character profile.
Okay, character profile time. Who says we're running out of characters? We're doing Max this week.
Max who?
Max Turner. You know, the little boy that's been in it a little bit this week.
Is he Max Turner, is he Max Platt, or is he Max Logan?
Turner, because Max Platt, this is the whole thing, isn't it? David hasn't adopted him, he would have been Max Platt.
This is the trouble about these people these days, right? Because everybody's got about 500 different surnames on this show.
Yeah, but Max is definitely just Max Turner at the moment. So I have a little bit of a talk about him. I can't envision this going too long, but hey ho.
Why is he called Max Turner?
Because that was Kylie's mate. No, yeah, because must have been Kylie's maiden name, but it wasn't. But what was Becky's name when she first came into it?
Becky Wrongen.
I can't remember. I don't think it was Becky Turner. I can't remember. But anyway, I think they've got a fractured family.
Sometimes women name their children after the father to try to convince them to take responsibility for them. And it obviously isn't. That's my point.
Yeah, I can't remember. But they've got a colourful family past. Probably lots of dads and things. But anyway, Max Turner. Oh yeah, Becky Granger, of course. Turner, Granger, maybe they've just forgotten. He was born on the 5th of September 2006 to Callum Logan and Kylie Platt. He has a half-sister, Kylie Platt, and Max...
No, Lily Platt.
Lily Platt. What did I say? Did I say Kylie?
Yes. No. And then you started saying Max, who first appeared on the 29th of August 2010. And then, as of this week, he's been in 220 episodes, played by Harry McDermott.
Yeah. So, short life for Max so far. He was born in 2006 to single mum Kylie, who'd fallen pregnant at the age of 19. So, as soon as Callum found that Kylie was pregnant, he did a runner. Not interested at all in having a boy at the young age. But, because of Kylie's wild ways as a young mother, Max was soon taken into care.
Yeah.
So she didn't see him for a few years, or she could like go and do little irregular visitings or whatever.
In 2010, when Kylie's sister Becky tracked her down, she was determined to get Max back to his birth mother because she wanted all the family to be together.
Yeah.
So they had a visit to the foster carer, and Kylie decides to snatch Max away, but she...
Yeah, because she's got a job. She gets a job at Roy's Rolls. She gets a home above the Rovers so that the court say, okay, well, you can have Max back then because you're respectable now. So it didn't last long, though, because she jets off to Cyprus on holiday at the end of the year, leaving Max with Becky and Steve. And this was all time when... I can't remember whereabouts this was in the Becky and Steve kind of fostering adoption kind of storyline, but they grew really, really close to him. And Becky was... a better mother to Max than we've ever seen Kylie be, I think, even now.
Well, we know that she wanted a child and Kylie doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, Kylie didn't care about him. And when Max came in, he was really, really kind of sweet and angelic and this kind of perfect blonde child he was kind of brought in as. Like, who wouldn't fall madly in love with this little boy, in which Becky does. But anyway, it doesn't last long because Kylie then returns and announces that she's going to head back to Cyprus for good and taking Max with her. But Becky and Steve offer her £20,000 to let them keep him. So Kylie's like, yeah, that's fine with me. On the night of the tram crash, though, because she'd been away for a bit, she appears again, whisks Max away, demands another £5,000, which Becky can only get by crawling over the near-dead body of Sunita to loot from the corner shop. So that's quite exciting involvement in the tram crash. 2011, by then, Tracy is back from prison. So she gets all embroiled with this because of her past with Steve and everything, and she wants to be back with Steve. She finds out the truth about the McDonald's buying Max and then uses it as a blackmail opportunity for Steve. In March, Kylie comes back from holiday, bizarrely engaged to be married to David, which was very strange at the time. He's been led to believe that Steve and Becky just took Max from Kylie rather than being sold for her and everything, and that Kylie wanted it. So Kylie insisted, though, that Max is better off with them. So this is the first time, really, that we saw any kind of fatherly instinct from David, because up until then he'd just been this horrible teenager sort of driving into canals and getting up to mischief, and it's a bit of a wake-up call for him. He's engaged, he wanted to be a dad. So Steve ended up shopping himself and Becky into the social services because he was fed up with Tracy trying to blackmail him, and as a result Max was taken back into foster care. Kylie decided she wanted Max back, though, so she and David applied for and won full custody of him.
In 2012, it looked like Coronation Street was trying to do a bit of the Jamie Oliver storyline, because Kylie winds up Max's head teacher, Mr. Packham, by going against his healthy school lunches drive by passing unhealthy snacks through the school railings. And this is exactly what happened with Jamie Oliver when he did his famous school dinners thing. Trying to improve school dinners in schools. And one of the parents took great exception to it and ended up taking
chips or whatever, passing chips through the railings.
They were taking orders from the children and bringing them food from the chippy.
Yeah, so that was the main thing that I think that Max was involved in that year. In 2013, he saved the day by phoning for an ambulance when David had an epileptic fit. I know he didn't phone for an ambulance, he phoned Nick, didn't he? Because David's epilepsy suddenly came back when he was having a walk at the duck pond. And Max phones up Nick and is like, "Oh, David's fallen over. And also that year for Max, he became an older brother when Kylie gave birth to Lily. So 2014 then, this past year has been the first year that he's had his own proper storyline to himself, because he started getting in trouble at home and at school for being naughty, and he was it's been a bit hyperactive. So this was them tackling their ADHD issue, and I always thought it was a bit weird, because up until then Max had been a really just kind of sweet, like I said, angelic, perfect child who everyone would love. And suddenly he's just turned naughty for the sake of a storyline. But yeah, I don't know if any of our listeners have noticed Max's behaviour chart that he has on the lounge on the Platt family wall. It never gets any extra stickers. So I think he's earned stickers like a couple of years ago. He hasn't been good since.
He's just coasting on the success of previous years.
Yeah, look out for that. Stickers go right up to the middle and then just stop. Yeah. So Kylie doesn't want to admit that there's any kind of medical problem with him, but eventually he's taken to see the doctor and he is diagnosed with ADHD. Prescribed pills, and they work. Kylie doesn't want to give in to him, but eventually they do. And, they work when Kylie's not
taking them herself. This is how she gets into drugs, because it's all Max's fault. She ends up getting drugs from Callum, Max's dad, who then ends up trying to win Kylie back and then get Max.
Yeah, and that is where we're at to now.
Really, Max is to blame.
Max is, he's quite a catalyst
for problems.
Spawn of
the devil, quite literally.
Yeah. So that is everything that Max has done so far.
Poor kid has had many parents and authority figures in his life. He's had Steve and Becky. He's had Kylie and David. Callum's come along now. He had Kylie and Callum, maybe.
Yeah, foster care.
Yeah.
He's had everything. So,
I mean, David's probably been the most constant parent he's ever had.
Well, I thought that Becky was really good mum.
She's not around now, that's my point.
She's not around now, but I think, if I'm remembering rightly, one of the reasons that Steve and Becky split up was because of Steve shopping them into the social services.
Yeah, that is
so one if Tracy hadn't been blackmailing them all this time ago because she was trying to get back with Steve, maybe Steve and Becky would have kept Max. And
I think
because I thought they were really good
for him. Becky is his best parent, but David's the one that's been
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's been good to see David kind of grow up a little bit, and it has been all because of Max.
It is sad that Max really doesn't. I mean, I know Becky is related to him, but his real blood family.
Bit rubbish.
Crap.
Yeah. So, do you think that Callum's gonna get him eventually? Are they skirting around the issue and then he's gonna whisk him away?
I think he might try to get him to mess with David, but I don't think he's got any intention whatsoever of keeping him around or looking after him.
Does he really just want to mess with David?
Yeah. What does he want a kid for? He's a drug dealer. He hasn't got a girlfriend.
Yeah, but
he's
I think seeing Max has kind of stirred something in him, maybe. I mean, he's not going to go straight or anything.
He never gives me the impression that he's ever actually interested in Max at all. Every time he interacts with Max, he's always doing it with a smug, sly little grin.
Yeah, he's like looking at David, isn't he? Yeah. He's playing with Max, but he's looking with David.
Exactly, and that's the point. That you can tell from the way that he's acting, he's not interested in Max. He's only interested in how David reacts.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's nothing at all in the way he's acting and his personality and the way they've portrayed the character that makes me think he genuinely wants Max back.
I think he might take him, though, if only because...
But he doesn't want to.
Because the actor who plays him... I mean, the child actors always go through, like, months on end where they don't appear at all and then they appear again because obviously got to get on with their real-life schooling. So I think Max may well disappear off-screen for a bit because maybe Callum will have taken him.
It just wouldn't make sense to me that the character would do that, because how is he going to look after a child?
Well, not going to be able to. Maybe Macca will look after him. I don't know. But I suppose he could go and live with him, and then he could get on drugs or something, and then David would get him away. I don't know.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you think as a whole that Max has got much of a future in the show?
If he's going to take him away, they're going to have to build a bit of a plot to explain why in the next... before they actually do it, because the way that it is at the moment, like I've already said to you, it doesn't look like he actually wants to take Max. He just wants to annoy David.
Yeah, I suppose they'd just make it that the more time that they spend together, he sort of kind of grows to him and everything.
Well, yeah, exactly what I've just said. They're going to have to make some kind of reason.
Yeah, I think that they're probably going to keep as much as they can try and keep the actor who plays Max in the show, because I think he's one of these
completely rubbish.
He's not completely rubbish, and you love doing child's character profiles, don't you?
I feel very bad about it, because they're not at the same level, obviously.
No.
They're just little kids.
Well, Jack P. Shepherd is, I can't remember what his name is, the actor's little Mr. Miyagi in the acting world. I think they've bond quite well, those ones, and he's given him like little acting classes and stuff. But I think that when Max grows up and is a teenager, he's going to be a bit of a heartthrob, like the blonde locks.
He's got really 90s hair for it.
He's like Aaron Carter, isn't he?
Yeah.
he's going to have all the girls chasing after him.
At least he hasn't got Justin Bieber hair.
Yeah, that's true. I think they would like to keep him just so they've got this handsome boy when he gets to that age.
He's not been adopted by...
No, still not.
By David, but he is still a Platt.
What do you mean?
At heart.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, the Platts are the sort of the power family of Coronation Street, as we know.
Well, yeah, definitely.
So, if he's a part of the Platt family, they're going to have to keep him in.
Yeah. Well, they've got Lily, haven't they?
Lily is a real Platt.
A true Platt. Yeah. No, I think Max is going to stay in it.
Kind of like Game of Thrones.
But are there any children that have Max's ages that are comparable? You never...
No.
You don't really get to see him interact with those, do you?
I'm not too bothered about the children.
Yeah. But he's okay. I did like him when he was... a lot more when he was younger and he was cute and wonderful, but that's just how they wanted the character to be. I mean, it's a bit of a blank slate for him, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How he's going to be. But what is there to say about Max?
That's it.
That is it. All we can say about Max. That is all we say. We'll call it a day there. But next week we'll have classic character profile.
Who could it be?
I've got somebody in mind.
Find out next week.
Yes. Let's go to the cabin now then. News time. There is very little news, if anything, this week, apart from something that we'll do in the cabin extra later.
There's
two things. There's this and there's the cabin extra news, the spoiler news. So All that's news is there's been a bit of an update. If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about a petition that's on the change.org website where somebody is fighting hard to retain the old Coronation Street set or keep the Rovers bit of it and basically not just flatten it and turn it into some kind of theatre venue, which is the plan at the moment. So we gave you the address for it, and if you want to still sign that petition you haven't done yet, just go to change.org, type in Coronation Street in the search bar, and you can read all about it then. But basically, the link has now been sent to Manchester City Council and the leader of the council, the three City Centre ward councillors, Lucy Powell MP, to five Allied London directors and consultants, and to ITV. So I think it's got like 1,926 signatures or something I saw earlier this evening. They're kind of hoping to get 2,000 though. The original deadline for signing the competition was the 19th of January, but now it's been...
To sign the petition, not the competition.
The petition. Did I say competition? Petition.
There's now another one. So the 13th of February, that's when the City Council executive considers the results of the consultation. So you can still sign up. And if you are listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, they probably should knock it down, just sign it. Unless you think they should knock it down, I think you should sign it, because I can't believe only 1,900 people care about this.
Yeah, I mean, we said at the time, if people know about this, then they would sign it, because I think everyone, if you interviewed people and said, should they knock it down, they would say, obviously not.
So, that is exactly how I feel about that. This is one of those issues where most people probably don't feel that strongly about it, but if you were to ask them, they would say, common sense would say, you wouldn't get rid of it.
Mm.
So it's one of those uncomfortable kind of like, no one's really that passionate about it. Obviously, only 1,900 people care about it that much to sign.
I wonder how many of those are from the UK as well.
I know. I wonder if that's going to be part of their sort of thought processes, because it's all very well saying, you know, well, 2,000 people in Manchester want to keep it, but if there's 2,000 people all the way around the country and abroad, I mean, they don't live there, so it doesn't affect them at all.
Mm.
Anyway, if you feel strongly about it, or even if you just feel slightly lukewarm about it and you think they should keep it, you should sign it, and you should also get your friends to sign it as well.
Yes.
I would really like this to go somewhere.
I'd like it to as well. Well, 13th of February is when the council
is looking at it,
so, which is next Friday, isn't it? So we won't know in time by next episode. But
I guess I just feel it's like one of those things where, oh, well, if less than 2,000 people care about it enough, then maybe you should knock it down. Do you know what I mean? I feel a bit deflated.
Yeah. They should have some little leaflets at the Coronation Street tour or something. But I suppose
they should have people protesting outside.
Probably not allowed. Yeah, so anyway, sign if you haven't signed, basically. Change.org, and then search for Coronation Street and you will find it.
That's the news, but there's going to be extra later.
That is sad, having the extra news later.
I don't even know. Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Oh, I know, you have to talk about that, sorry. Okay, let's go on to do a little bit of feedback before then.
Feedback time. People write in and tell us stuff.
Or ask us stuff.
Shayana. Is that her name? That's an awesome name.
Yeah, I know.
Hello, Michael and Gemma. I hope you're well. I'm good, thank you. Okay. How are you? I feel the main reason behind Todd's break up Eva and Jason scheme is that he's so self-absorbed and feeling sorry for himself right now that he wants to ruin someone else's happy relationship. I agree. Lately, I've noticed a lot of scenes where Todd walks in on someone being high on life and then it cuts to his sad face. Whether it's Sean gushing about Billy or Liz and Tony being all loved up or Jason and Eva getting closer than ever, he can't handle that his life sucks and wants to take it out on someone so he can be miserable with them. Do you think that's why he likes Tracy so much?
Why?
Because her life's just gone to crap.
Yeah, they can moan about it together.
She carries on, unfortunately for Eva and Jason, he seems to have found a crack in their relationship which he will exploit until Jason is as depressed as him, and then he will feel better. It even includes ruining his nemesis Tony's relationship as well, so that's an added bonus.
Yeah, I think that's basically it, isn't it? You can't stand anyone else to be happy. I suppose sometime he will get a proper boyfriend and I guess be happy with him, but they're quite perfectly happy for him to be a villain at the moment.
I quite like him as a little sort of villainous panto bit.
Yeah, there is an inevitable boyfriend on the horizon, I suppose.
Is there?
No, I don't know whether there is. I just assume that they're not going to keep him single forever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who it could be, I don't know. I mean, I wonder whether he's going to have a crack at Billy at some point.
A crack at Billy? Foul beast.
He might do, because, I mean, they're getting closer together, but Sean and Billy are.
I'm sure he'll have a go, but I think Billy is going to be far too... morally upstanding, one would hope.
Yeah.
She carries on, I also thought there was an announcement that Kieran was coming back this year. Maybe I was wishfully thinking because I really liked his character. Do you like his character or was it more his charm?
His Irish charm.
Oh, God.
There we go again.
His... No, anyway.
I read this as well, that the Keith Duffy was supposed to be coming back. Because I think the first thing that made me think about doing him as a character profile was I was having a look on St. Curry's sites, and there was a list of returning characters this year, and Kieran was one of them. I was like, I don't think that's true at all. I haven't heard anything about that. So I did a little bit of searching, and all I could find was in October or November, whenever we said the quote from before, he was saying, oh, I really want to come back. There's always going to be a place for Curry... On Curry for me, I can come back whenever I like, almost. So I think he just wants to come back, and he's kind of wishful thinking, and if he says it enough, that they'll invite him back.
To be fair, a few people have said stuff like that, and then it turns out that they're coming back.
Yeah.
Recently, so... Who knows?
Who knows? He might come back, and if it's going to be... it's going to get in the way of Michelle and Steve's relationship, that could be quite...
Then so be it.
Quite interesting.
An email from Devor.
Oh, yes. She says, this week has been a bit up and down, talking about last week, of course, which is the usual after a big week, the minibus crash. I did enjoy Tim this week, along with Tim and Craig together, a double act that could go gold. Yeah, we didn't talk about them doing the little washing together, talking about their rats today, did we?
Yeah.
I think they're... Craig just is the kind of person that will get on with anyone.
He is quite a nice bloke like that, isn't he?
He will. I can't see any story with any person or character that Craig could be paired up with and it wouldn't turn out that they'd get on. So.
I think if I could choose any personality trait for myself, it would be gets on really well with people.
Mm.
I'm not very
You get on well
sociable.
With people. You are.
Am I?
I think you get on with people really
Did
well.
You say
I don't.
That at my
I'm
funeral?
Not, yeah, I'm not very okay. sociable at all. You chat with people, you're fine.
You are sociable.
I'm not.
Anyway, we're both just terrible.
We're just British people, and
we're just British, and we don't talk to anybody.
We're self-critical.
And we just like to queue.
Norris is really at his worst this week, railing on at Steve, snapping and insulting Maddie, and then complaining about customer service in the pub. Pots and kettles there. I hate Norris. I remember Devor saying this in the past about her hating Norris. So I don't know. What do you think about her? About him, now friends with Maddie.
Silly.
Do you think... I'd like to know whether you think that he's deserved what he's been getting from Maddie. Because I honestly don't think he does. He's just a defenceless old man.
Any time anyone ever gets back at Norris, all it does is get them onto his level. Nobody can ever have a moral triumph over Norris because he... Just engaging with him makes you as bad as he is, don't you think? Just leave him alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's had a bad effect on Maddie this week, hasn't it?
Did.
We've usually liked. Yeah. Chesney is also getting on my nerves too. I can understand why he's upset and angry at Steve for it, but someone really needs to use his head and grow up. I don't think anyone can blame Steve for the accident, and even if he hadn't walked away, it wouldn't have made any difference to Sinead's injuries.
Exactly.
Exactly right. I don't like Owen either. You don't like anyone this week, Diane. Mm. I don't like Owen either. He's gone back to his bully, nasty self. Izzy isn't, in fact, still in a state. And has anyone reminded Owen or anyone else that Izzy was the one that actually did the breaking up with Gary?
I know. I don't like Izzy.
I'm kind of glad that Owen's gone back to this way. I mean, I never liked him when he was a bully. I've never been a big fan of Owen's character anyway, but I didn't quite believe it. I was always a little... not at ease when he was kind of being a nice family guy, so it's good that he's gone back.
I mean at the moment it's just horrible. If I didn't know anything about him and only based it on what I've seen recently, I would say he's a terrible character and I want to get rid of him. I'm clinging on to the fact he used to be quite a complex character, but I think they've just thrown that out the window now and they don't want you to remember he was ever nice.
I just don't know who we're supposed to side with in the Armstrong Windass house at the moment. They're both as bad as each other.
To kill all of the Armstrongs.
And Windasses, or just the Armstrongs?
The Windasses are just dull, but I just really don't...
We don't like Izzy.
Anna has been doing herself a misjustice as well by just being unpleasant to everybody at the moment. Gary is a hopeless moron.
Mm.
And then you've got Owen, Izzy and Katie, all of whom pretend that they're so fantastic and... moral, but they're actually just nasty little creeps.
Well, that's why I think that Faye is the standout among them. Wouldn't you say that out of all those characters, Faye is kind of the nicest one and the one you're most interested in and enjoy watching?
No.
Really? Do you really not like Faye that much?
I don't like Faye.
I... Oh.
That's like saying, out of all of these poos, which one would you most like to eat? You must Christ. Like one of them.
Faye is not that bad. Whatever you think of her acting or anything, she's not a nasty character. Anna is nasty. Owen is nasty. Katie...
Faye is nasty. She's been horrible before.
No, she's... What?
She like has.
When she killed Owen's fish.
Yes.
She was just being a young girl. She didn't know
what
she
was doing. Oh, it was just hijinks.
Faye is a nice character because they've paired her up with Craig and they're having all their...
Weird... All right. You're not going to convince me.
But yeah, no, just get rid of the Windasses and the Armstrongs, I suppose. It'll be interesting to see how they react to whatever it is that's making Faye fat. I seem to recall, continues Tibor, that Kieran didn't have Betty's hot pot recipe when he went to the bistro, the joinery, but he decided to have Northern style appetizers and had offered mini hot pots, which caused some friction with the pub. Okay, then fine.
I remember that now.
Yes, maybe. I like Kieran and I liked him with Sunita best. Though I can see why she realised he really wasn't ready for commitment. Michelle was far too high maintenance for him, and I don't think that marriage would have lasted either, because he never really seemed like he was ready to settle down. The thing is, though, when you're like on a cruise ship somewhere and you're married to someone, you can't really get away from them.
I managed to get away from you that time you ended up ill in your cabin all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Because you ate too much.
Yeah. Oh, the good days.
Oh, honeymoon.
Yeah, Michelle is very high maintenance, isn't she? As Steve is finding out to his detriment, I suppose.
Yeah. So horrible, she gives you clinical depression.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't actually be possible.
No.
But it's a soap, so whatever, anything can happen.
We had a return of the question of the week this week, which is about the first question of the week we've had for months. But I thought it'd be quite an easy one to ask people what they thought of the new bistro.
It got lots of responses.
We did get lots of responses, and then coincidentally, a blog post appeared on the Coronation Street blog asking the same question not long after.
Well, how dare they steal our genius idea?
Yeah,
which is highly original, and no one would have thought of this unless they had seen it on our Facebook.
Well, our longest reply came from Joe, who says, "We didn't realise it was supposed to be finished when we first saw it."
No.
Are you talking like the Queen there, saying, "We didn't realise it was supposed to be finished"?
Well, you thought it was crap.
I thought the place was supposed to be gutted with paint scraped off the walls. When we realised it was finished, we thought it looked like a burnt out pirate ship.
I quite like this idea that Jo's talking in the royal way. She isn't though, because she says it is growing on me.
It's growing on we, slowly, me.
On
it's
us.
Very different, very hips the bar to the old stylish classy look. It would attract a different clientele. Which is why it's not suitable for Coronation
Street.
Because
the same people go there all the time. It's
the same people that go there, like once a week, everybody who lives on Coronation Street goes to the bistro to eat. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with Coronation Street's
image. And you complain when we have a takeaway. Christina Conn says, "It looks terrible." Glenda says, "They should name it Nasty Nick's." Anna says, "Dark and dull." Tibor bucks the trend. She says, "I like the rustic look." David Lloyd agrees, "I liked it."
But they don't say why.
Mm.
It's different.
Were you on the
I'll
payroll?
Get used to it. It just looks a bit scrappy
now,
and horrible.
You read that they got this from The Range.
Oh, yeah, they said on the internet today.
The Range is kind of like the Aldi of the decorating world.
Yeah, lots of nice cheap tat.
They're the occasional nice thing in The Range, but most of it is just, as you can tell, a load of old crap.
Yeah.
And as well, at the moment, sorry in advance anybody who likes this, but the slogans and the sayings and the words on things... It's been in fashion probably for about 5 years here now, and it's really doing my wicked now. I
can't remember what the slogan is they've got on the wall.
They've got hundreds of them all over the place.
Mm.
The last good slogan, no, there's only two good slogans, and they're both posters. One of them is the UFO, I want to believe, that was in Mulder's office in The X-Files. And the other one is of the kitten hanging that says, "Keep hanging on there," or whatever. Those are the only two acceptable slogans.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
They didn't have that at The Range. Yeah, so it looks like our listeners mostly do not like the new bistro, but it's tough because we're stuck with it now. I can't believe that it's been like 5 years since there's been a bistro there, because this year was the 5 year anniversary of the joinery opening. It seems like it's still a new thing, but it still to me doesn't seem like it really fits there. They always used to have like the odd restaurant on Coronation Street, Delphine's or the Clock or whatever, but it always used to be in the middle of Manchester or the middle of Weatherfield, and it kind of seemed like it fits there. It just doesn't fit the image of the street.
I always feel like they're going to take it away.
Yeah, so do I. And I mean, since it's opened, it's been the Joinery, it's been
Just Nick's,
it's been the Bistro, it's had a tram crash through it, and it just keeps coming back. They really like the idea of having it there.
I think they're going to keep it, but I do think I don't want to get too... I just feel like it's temporary and I don't want to get too attached to it because I think they're going to take it away.
I don't think they will now. I just don't like how it makes Coronation Street... I like the idea of like a wider weather field, but when the more businesses they have on Coronation Street, the more nobody needs to leave there. I like the idea that they have to go into town for things sometime.
Yeah,
but
that's what people like about Coronation Street. It's the community of people that make sense that they're bumping into each other. The more you have like places on the street, the more it makes sense that someone walks in and sees someone coincidentally.
There's so many places to walk in there. I mean...
Yeah, but all right. Well,
they were talking.
If you put the Bistro and you said it was in Weatherfield, it would make no sense at all that people keep coming in and out of it and know each other. You couldn't have
half
the scenes that they have in there, or the Platt family congregating and having mutterings and natterings and having heart attacks and and stuff. You couldn't have that.
Do you think the Platts like get half price meals when they go there?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I think it's going to stay there. I think they had all the other restaurants in other places, and now they obviously like the idea of having a posh place and the fact that they've got it in Coronation Street.
Well, I don't know why we're discussing whether they're going to get rid of the Bistro. They're obviously not going to get rid of the Bistro because they just bloody well tarted it up.
Well, this is like the third or fourth revision of it in the last 5 years, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Right, should we leave the feedback there and go on to the Cabin Extra in a minute? If you don't want to listen to spoilers, then that's it for the episode for you.
It's about somebody leaving.
This is about somebody leaving.
So if you don't care about finding out who it is, you can leave us here.
Yes. And you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or go to conversationstreet.podbean.com to leave us a comment there on our blog. You can Skype us, you can tweet us, we're at Conversation Street, or you can Facebook us, we're at Conversation Street on Facebook there. But that is it until, apart from the Cabin Extra, so here it goes. Sad, sad news about a character leaving this
No,
week.
It's not sad because good riddance.
Why?
You know, I get like this. Remember what I was like when we first started watching Coronation Street and Gina left?
No, I don't remember that, but it seems to have stuck in your head
a lot. I was so betrayed.
Katie Kavanagh is quitting as Julie Carp.
Quitter!
I can't...
Quitter.
It's really sad.
I hate Julie.
No, you don't. You love Julie.
No, I hate
Julie's
her.
One of your favourite characters.
No.
She said, I've decided it's time to take a break from the cobbles and pursue other projects and opportunities.
Go on then.
I've loved every minute in the world of Julie Carp, and I'm not ruling out a return to the street in the future.
No, I'm going to kill you off.
However, I'm looking forward to a new challenge and a pair of flat shoes.
Selfish.
this is what you call a discussion. Stuart Blackburn has said, everybody at Corrie wishes Katie all the very best, and hopefully as far as Julie is concerned, the cobbles haven't seen the last of her. So he obviously wants her back.
Young, grateful cow.
It's a shame because she's sadly been not much more than a bit part since she... I can't remember, how long has she been in it? 5-6 years? I'm not even sure. Maybe it's even longer than that. But she doesn't seem to have done very much. And they've kind of written into
my day every time she appears.
I know she does. Like, she can't have a family, and that's just the thing that everybody wants Julie to... They want her to be a mum.
It's just like what happened to Becky.
Yeah. Couldn't
Why
be
do
a
they
mum.
Keep taking them away from me?
Because it's drama.
I don't care. Anyway, I never liked her to start with.
How do you think that she is going to lose?
Die. She's going to die. Cam's going to kill her.
Do you think that she's... What's going to happen there in Dev?
When Becky left, she kind of left like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, it was a triumphant, I don't need to come back,
I've got everything I wanted, I've got my instant family, I'm going to live in Barbados, wherever I'm going, and life cannot be any more awesome for me right now. Whereas, if they're saying, I might come back later, then, and she's not, she says she's going to take a break and pursue other projects, and we know she's had a child, so maybe she's just found it a bit too intense. She's not going to be pursuing a big television career in the same way that
I don't know whether it could be that, or it could be that she just feels that she's underused, because she is. She had a nice little life with Brian there, and then they ripped that away from her. And this whole thing with Deb, it's been so on and off, and like one episode every month they have a scene of them together. It's just not really going anywhere. All the stuff with Mary and Julie and, well, the love triangle with Mary and Julie is kind of interesting, but it never really lasts for long. But I assume that her leaving is going to be something to do with that. Mary's going to just kind of needle her out.
When's she going?
End of spring, apparently.
That's really soon. I don't care.
Yes, you do. I saw somebody on the internet saying the other day that they should leave it ambiguous when they leave, and like they should have had her final scene would be like in a dark alley somewhere with Julie seeing Mary, and then the next scene would be Mary telling Tev, oh yeah, I just saw Julie off, she's just gone in the taxi, and nobody would know where Mary is. Secretly killed her off. That would be quite funny.
Kind of like that Too Many Cooks where the evil guy keeps appearing in the background.
Exactly. Do you there isn't going to be any romance between Mary and Dev, is there? That's going to that Julie's
no,
going to walk
don't,
in
no.
on. I hope not. But I suppose she's just going to get fed up. I suppose it's one good thing that could come out of this could be that there could be some more funny Mary scenes, some mad Mary scenes trying to get in between them.
Yeah.
Possibly, but it's just very, very sad, and it's going to be sad for Eileen that she's not going to have a sister there anymore.
I know.
Maybe it'll be something to do with Todd. Maybe Todd's going to con her or something, because isn't she still like one of Todd's only supporters still? I can't remember at the moment. But it is sad, but I think when we look back on the character, if this is the last we see her, she's sadly not going to make that much of a dent in Corrie history, but she had a big potential to, and it's a bit of a waste, really, sadly. It's another favourite character that is sadly gone, but I'll enjoy Julie while we've still got her, at least. I'm sure you'll come to terms with her
no.
going. Oh, sad. That's all we've got time for today, and we've already given email addresses soon, so
we'll have to just say see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Thank you for listening, everybody. See you next time. Have a good one. Bye bye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.